So we'll see what the Lord wants to say to us this morning, Father. What is it that you want to say this morning? Say something to the young ones, Lord, that need milk. And say something to the ones that need bread, Father. And say something to the ones that need meat. Because you're concerned about all of us, Lord. Romans talks about if you just give meat out all the time. And some of the younger ones or some of the lesser immature ones are sitting around wondering what you're talking about. And Paul says that's not a good thing to do. So, we want to say what God wants us to say. Okay, I'll read some verses here and we'll see where we go to from here. There's a couple of things that the Lord wants us to understand. And I'm not going to have time to elaborate on these points, but one is he wants to understand that we've come into a new season in God. Actually, we are embarking on a new era in God. That there's great change coming to the church, to the earth, to America. Great change. And God's in charge. So he wants us to understand that if you feel in your spirit a shift or a change, you know, you talk to a lot of people and they talk about just feels like change is in the air, change is coming. You're right. It is. And I would encourage you, if you're not already getting before the Lord and getting quiet, to ask the Lord, what is it that you're saying in this hour, Father? What is it that you're saying? Because he is speaking to each and every one of us. No exceptions. When it rains on everybody. It rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. Even the people in the world that are walking without him, they sense they're troubled. Change is coming. What's going on in the world? Well, praise God, we know what's going on in the world. Because we serve a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We serve a kingdom that has a government that's going to increase in authority and power and peace. That's the government of God. It's the kingdom of God that's coming to earth. Jesus' prayer in John 17, I want him to experience the unity, the oneness, the love. The Father is starting to ramp up the answer to Jesus' prayer. So there is great things on the horizon for the body of Christ in this hour. It's either going to be, as Benny Skinner preached many years ago, a great day for you, or a terrible day. Because even though you know the Lord, if you are not following on to know him, then Paul says, when judgment comes, you'll be judged with the world. Just quoting scripture. Saved, yes. But if you don't go on to know him, it's like the scriptures that Joey was reading last Sunday. Mark talked a whole lot about refuge and a place of escape and so on and so forth and heavy lifting and on and on. He read many, many verses all about basically the secret place and so on and so forth. Well, why did he read all those verses? Because the Lord wants his body to wake up and understand that we are entering into an hour. Many people right now have entered into a very difficult place. They've lost their jobs. Many families have lost loved ones to COVID-19. I mean, there's a lot of people in a very rough place right now. I'd love to tell you that things in the United States and around the world are going to get better. But I have to tell you that I think they're going to get more challenging. And the reason why they're going to get more challenging is because of Isaiah 60. Darkness covers the earth, gross darkness the people. But you are to arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. So in one hand we have darkness, and on the other hand we have great glory of God. So we're going to see tremendous glory hit this earth, tremendous miraculous things, miracles, resurrection from the dead, salvations, testimonies all over the world. God is getting ready to do a great thing in this harvest time. So, some of the scriptures. Isaiah 43 says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Is that a good one for Wings? See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. There's that word now, Rich. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Isaiah 42:9. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I now declare. John 16:12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what I say to come. Those are some of the scriptures the Lord told me to give to you. And then a while back, the Lord gave me a poem some years ago that Marge and I made into a Christmas card, because it was really kind of a neat poem, and it had a real Christmassy message in it. And the poem read like this. There was a star that shined so bright to send a message through the night. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men was the word from Bethlehem. Now the angels come again to make the joyful sound, for he is coming back again to turn the world around. The spotless Lamb of God was slain to show the world God's love, and now he's coming back again to reign in the power of love. The Lord started dealing with me. I hadn't read this poem in quite some time, and I got it out, as I do with the poems. I draw a lot of strength from them, a lot of encouragement. And I started reading this poem. It said, there was a star that shines so bright to send a message through the night, and the Holy Ghost stopped me, and he said, how can a star send a message? That was a prophetic word that the Lord gave to me. There was a star that shined so bright to send a message through the night. And the Lord, he just stopped me, and the Holy Ghost started doing it. He said, how can a star send a message? And I pondered that. I knew God wanted me to meditate on that, and I thought to myself, really, how can a star send a message? Does it speak? No. I've never heard a star speak. But yet the Magi, the mystics, the kings, they said they followed a star. It was a star that was speaking to those men in the constellations. And they knew, those kings from Persia, they knew that the Christ child, the King of all kings, was born 6,000 miles away from them. And they got on their camels and off they went, with frankincense, myrrh, and gold. These men were kings, and it said, we have come because we have seen his star, and we have come to worship the king. Now, these men were kings, and they came to worship the king. Isn't that astounding that men 6,000 miles away in Persia would be able to read the constellations, the stars, and understand the stars? Because the stars, I heard Brother Evie wrote a tremendous book, tremendous writings on the constellations. And he said the stars was the first Bible that God ever wrote. The stars were there before Job was here, before the Bible was here. God laid everything out in the stars. Where are you going with this, Brother Jim? Well, the Bible, as I continued to talk to the Lord about this, I was led to Psalm 19, which said, the title is God's Story in the Skies. God's splendor is a tale that is told, and his testament is written in the stars. His testament, this is called a testament here. It says, his testament is written in the stars. Space itself speaks his story every day. Through the marvels of the heavens, his truth is on tour in the starry vault of the sky, showing his skill in creation's craftsmanship. Each day gusses out its message to the next, night with night, whispering its knowledge to all, without a sound and without a word, without a voice being heard, yet all the world can see its story everywhere. Its gospel is clearly read in the stars. Isn't that marvelous? That is marvelous. And then I heard some brother preaching on out of Job, and he was preaching on the Maseroth. I did not have a clue what the Maseroth was. Not a clue. I would venture to say that if you have 99% of Christians and ministers what the Maseroth is, I doubt if many of them would know. Well, maybe because I didn't know, I shouldn't assume that nobody else knows. Maybe all you know it and I was the only one that didn't. But I started researching or looked at the word Maseroth. That's where God was in his big speech, his big spiel with Job. You know, where were you when the sons of God were dancing for joy? Where were you when I hung the stars in the sky? When I called Pleiades, and he talked about all the constellations in Job chapter 38. Where were you? And I thought, what is this Maseroth? So I went to the Amplified Bible, and I went to Job 38, verse 32. And God said, where were you when I formed the signs of the zodiac? The signs of the zodiac. Now, I don't know about you, but anytime I ever heard the signs of the zodiac, it prompted a negative vibe in me. It was like, what, astrology? You know, people going to tell your fortune by the signs of the zodiac? Well, you know, it's like the Lord said, everything that I've created, the enemy has created a counterfeit. I'm not talking about astrology here, okay? Nobody's here to predict your future from the stars, but God wants us to know that he has laid out, from Genesis to Revelation, he has laid it out in the constellations. Now, I didn't have time to make a big study on the constellations, don't know if I ever will, but the reason why the Lord has led me this way is to show me that we have just passed out of Pisces. Yeah, this is getting a little weird. Unless you talk to the Lord about it, he'll lay it out for you. We have passed out of the constellation of Pisces. Pisces was the fishes. It's the figures of two large fish in the act of swimming. Christ the head and his body. The two fish that would be multiplied. A symbol of God's great grace going out to all the world. 2,000 years we have been in what the signs of the zodiac would call Pisces. And we have now moved, I believe, into, and don't break out in song here, but the age of Aquarius. Aquarius is a sign of the water bearer. It's a figure of a man with a large urn or a large pot, the contents of which he is in the act of pouring out a great stream of water from the sky. The sent one who would pour out waters of blessing, the life of the Spirit on the earth in the former and latter rain. Rivers of living water from the innermost part of our being, the outflow of his life. I realize that this is getting a little bit way out there because it's a little bit way out there for me. I don't know how this is going to be received. I pray that if you get any weird vibes, that you just take it to the Lord and see what the Lord would disclose to you. Because I'm telling you, this is what he's disclosed, I believe, to me. And the reason why he wanted me to get into this was to confirm again, we have entered into a new era. God is going to start moving in a way he's never moved before. He is now going to be the man with the urn, where he's going to pour out his water upon all flesh. Okay? We're coming into an age where there's going to be rivers of living water flowing out of your innermost being. A lot of these scriptures we've talked about, we've preached about, we've heard about, but we're going to start coming into the reality of this if we continue on to know the Lord. That was the first point that the Lord was pretty emphatic about, that he wanted me to get across. The second point, we might be able to get through this, I don't know. The second point is judgment. We talked a lot about that in Sunday school. Got a lot of confirmations in Sunday school from Rich and the gang. And there's a poem that I read a while back. I'm going to read it again, that the Lord gave me here recently. Do you hear the midnight cry? Has he opened up your eye? Have you set your heart on him so he can come and sup within? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. I am here to encourage you to check the clock. For can't you discern it is the midnight hour, a time to focus on the Lord to receive his power, a power to lift you up on high, a power to open up your eye to a place of peace and rest, a place to receive my best. So stay the course, my precious ones, so at my coming you can be found in the glorious one, to be seated at my side and forever to abide. All this is good. Everything I'm saying up here is good. Talking about the stars, talking about the seasons. God said he put the stars in the heavens because it was going to represent the change of seasons and days and hours and months. But on a grand scale, when you understand the constellations, which some of our brothers do, and some of them have got some tremendous writings on this. I mean, these men are anointed. I mean, the difference in the signs of the zodiac that we understand is it's Christ-centered. All of it is Christ-centered. Every one of those signs, Pisces, Leo, Sagittarius, all of them, they're all centered around Christ. Every one of them, I got the definition of them here. But now when the world takes the signs of the zodiac, they pervert it. Give me some money, I'll predict your future. How are they going to do it? They look at your stars. It's a counterfeit. They take what God has and they counterfeit it, okay? And we're not talking about that. We're not talking about, like I said, astrology per se and whatever. But if you read up on stars, I mean, it's marvelous. Some of the things that God writes in here about how he laid the stars out so we could understand how the plan of God will unfold from Genesis to Revelation. It was the first Bible, like I said, he ever wrote before this book even got here. It was already written in the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. Doesn't the scripture say that? Well, praise God. Now I'm going to come back a little bit on some of the stuff that Joey says. I don't know if it's going to match exactly what she said, but I want to read a prophetic word to you that I got about 5 years ago. I read it here, but I want to read it again. Oh, I'm sorry. I read it here. This is a word I got from the Lord. Anyway, it says, the title is A Prophecy from the Father, Hear and Live. My people, can you see and hear the winds of my spirit blowing, coming from the east, the west, the north, and the south? It is coming to blow upon the dry and lifeless bones of my people. For there are many in the valley of indecision. Now, I think the scripture says in Ezekiel 37 somewhere, doesn't it say there are many in the valley of decision? Joey, is that how it read? Or? You don't know? Okay. Well, I think it says, there, when you're speaking to Ezekiel, he said there are many in the valley of decision. When the Lord gave this prophetic word to me, he said there are many in the valley of indecision. And I thought, I thought the scripture said decision. I've got to check that out. But the Lord was saying, no, this prophetic word is my people that are in the valley of indecision. Even though they have received my son Jesus and they have salvation, they have not taken on his life. Even though they have received my son, the father said. They have not taken on his life. They've taken on a religious life. And this is one of the things that the Lord is going to be coming against fiercely in the days ahead. There's a lot of the theology, a lot of the doctrines that our brothers and sisters, and including us, are walking in right now that we're swearing is truth. Jesus is truth. So the spirit of burning is coming to blow upon the coals of their heart. Now hear it out now, and to flame the fires of passion for my son once again. That's a good thing, isn't it? For the spirit of burning will blow and blow upon the coals, and you will start to see the love and the passion for my son come back to my bride as in the days of old. You will first start feeling the heat and the warmth of his love. The fire and the love come at the same time, brothers and sisters. He doesn't just send a bunch of fire to burn you up, but it's the fire of his love that burns up the wood, hay, and stubble. For the spirit of burning will blow and blow upon the coals, and you will start to see the love and passion for my son come back to my bride as in the days of old. You will start feeling the heat and the warmth of his love as the spirit of prophecy blows across my church. Then you will see small flames as the heat intensifies over the coals. It will then, through the power of the spirit of burning, reach up and start consuming all the wood, hay, and stubble. When I wrote this, when the Lord gave it to me to write, I had never heard of a spirit of burning. I thought, well, I got to find this in King James. And bless God, I did. I found it in the book of Zechariah, where God said, I'm sending a spirit of burning. I found it in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesied, the Lord is sending a spirit of burning. Now, let me say this to you, to us. Be glad you're not an Old Testament saint. Because when that fire came under the law, it was painful. And it brought death a lot of times. And we're still preaching a God that brings death instead of life. In many of our churches throughout the land today, they're not preaching life. You know, you get saved. Mars and I went to a church every Sunday. We had to get saved again. Okay? Because all I heard was I had a sin problem. Every Sunday, I had a sin problem. And then Jesus talked to me one day and he said, I want you to start hearing about a son problem instead of a sin problem. Because I'm in you. This work has been finished. All I'm trying to do is reveal to my church what I've already done for you. I want you to see what I've already finished, what I've already done. I'm trying to reveal this to you. Everybody's trying to work their way into the kingdom. You know, works of wood, hay, and stubble. You know, God, we are his workmanship created unto good works. There's nothing wrong with good works. Praise God. If you can help an old lady take her garbage out and her groceries up, then fine. Those things are wonderful. But the works that the Lord is concerned about that will burn up is those works when you're denying Calvary. You're saying it isn't finished. I got to finish it. I got to do this. I got to do that. And those are the things that the Lord is saying, that's what's going to burn up when your works are tried. That's going to be burned up. He wants us to simply draw on the grace of God. Take that faith that he gives us that's progressively growing in us. Like Paul said, grow in the mercy and the grace of God. And all we have to do is get in his presence and fellowship with him and say, I need a little bit more grace. He says, is there. There's an abundance of it there. Paul said, I never frustrated the grace of God. In other words, every time God came to him and revealed his grace to him, things that he wanted Paul to do, things he wanted to do through Paul, Paul said, I never frustrated the grace of God because I know it was God that was working in me. I know I'm just a clay jar with a whole lot of glory in me called Christ, the great mystery, Christ in you. It is finished. God wants us to know that. And he wants us to walk in that finished work. He wants us to rest in that finished work. How do you enter into the rest of God? Like the Lord spoke to me, You rest your way in to my rest. You rest your way in to my rest. My yoke is light. My burden, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You sit under a lot of these religious churches, and you're going to walk out of there with a yoke around your neck that will choke you to death. And you better watch your P's and Q's, because at any moment you're going to fall into sin, and you know you will. John said, here's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. When Jesus went down to Jordan, and on that cross, he took it all. Even the ones you're going to do tomorrow, he took it all. Because he knows the battle that we're in. The battle of Armageddon is it's an interior war. It's not out there. There may be some wars out here, and there's probably going to be. But the real battle is in here. And we are the answer. God wants us to understand that we have a tremendous treasure in this earthen vessel. And that's what God wants to bring forth, and that was my third sermon. I'll be finishing up on the treasure. So the one who lays up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. You know, the Lord in the Old Testament talks about we're a peculiar people, a treasured people. The Lord spoke something to me Wednesday when I was going down to assist Rich in his radio program down there. And this is what he spoke to me. Of course, I had been doing a lot of research on treasure, and the Lord had given me two poems on treasure. But this is what the Lord spoke to me. He said, the Father said, the more you discover the treasure in you, the greater the treasure you become to me. The more you discover the treasure in you, the greater the treasure you become to me. Because let's face it, he's really only pleased with the Son in us. It isn't so much Jim Wilson as it is Christ in Jim Wilson. There was a man that came from Australia, ministered down at Wings 20, 30 years ago, and we were out on a boat ride with him, and I was out on the deck, and it was just he and I, and he spoke something to me, and I never forgot it. He said, Brother Jimmy, just remember, on that day, the Lord's only interested in how much Christ is formed in you. That's all he's going to be looking for. How much of my son have you allowed to be formed in you? Because that's the treasure. That's the treasure that we have in this earthen clay vessel. The excellency of the power is not of us, the scripture says, but it's of him. All right, we'll read you the poem. I've read it to you once before, I believe, but we'll read it again. Anyway, Colossians, as we talk about treasure, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea. This is Paul writing to the Laodicean church, kind of the last letter that the Lord wrote. Kind of looked like this letter, like this message was for us, kind of being like the last seventh church age, whatever. Paul says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that would be us, that your hearts may be encouraged and be knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one delude himself with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and firmness of your faith in Christ Jesus. For all treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ Jesus. But you know, they're not hidden to us. Praise God. He just said, ask and you'll receive. Everyone who asks receives. Do we believe his word? You got to get that word in here. You got to get that word in here. You know, when he said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. I'm sorry, but he wasn't talking about this. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Now, I love this book. I'm in it, reading scriptures probably daily, every day of my life. But God wants his church to start understanding that he is the living word. He wants you to hear the living word inside of you. There's been so much emphasis put on the Bible, and I understand that. And I'm glad that there was in some of the ministries that I sat under, because I've learned a lot through the scriptures, but it's only been when God's hand has been on the letter, the living word inside of you. And God in this hour is raising up a people who are going to hear the living word of God. There's a verse of scripture that says, we are God's poetry. I like that. And I'll end it with this poem. Did I say I'll end it about six times yet? So it's time to end. It says, I found a treasure which has no measure, and it provides me with endless pleasure. I would love to keep it for myself, but unless it is spent, it will have no further content. The definition of the word content there means satisfied with a certain level of achievement, not wishing for more. If it's not spent, it will have no further content. For you see, the only way the treasure grows is for the holder, or householder, the Bible calls a householder, is for the holder of the treasure to let it flow. Flow out to the needy and to the poor, for this is what the treasure is for. So if you possess this treasure divine, then turn it loose while you still have time. We are in a time realm. We are in a time dimension. And that's why we're here, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. And we were created, we're his workmanship, created for good works. Turn it loose, he says, while you have the time. For the measure of the treasure that you give away will be measured back to you in God's glorious day. A day in which there is no more time. A day in which everything rhymes. So give away all the treasure that you can so you can fulfill the rest of God's plan. The first poem that the Lord gave me was a little bit different. The last line, the poem that the Lord gave me was, I want you to give away all the treasure that you can so I can place you in a position of command. What God is saying is he's raising up in this hour sons. He's raising them up. The more this treasure that we receive and the more this treasure we give out, the Lord can place you in a higher place of authority to bless on a higher level. The man that was faithful in five cities, he gives him 10. He who has little, he takes it away from the one that had little and gives it to the one that had much. Wow, that doesn't sound fair. But that's the kingdom of God. The man that came in at 10 minutes to 5 got the same amount that the guy that came in at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's the way the kingdom works. So, we are living, the church is living in a tremendous hour right now, a tremendous hour. And God wants us all to shake ourselves and wake up. Okay? Behold, I do a new thing. Before it springs forth, I will tell you. All we have to do is listen for his voice. So I can't hear his voice. A lot of times I can't hear his voice. It's because I'm listening to too many other voices. That's the reason why you can't hear his voice. It's because we're tuned in, our radio's tuned into every voice in the world. It's tuned into politics, it's tuned into the economy, it's tuned into this, it's tuned into the TV, all these voices. But God's bringing a people in this hour to where they're going to know him in a very intimate way. Amen. All right, well, he wanted me to point out the season that we're in. He wants us to understand that judgment is coming. It's a good thing when your judgments are in the earth, the prophet said, then the people learn righteousness. They come into a place with you, a closer place, a union with you. So yes, God's going to send the fire, but understand that the fire is his eternal flame. It's his eternal love. He's the burning bush that talked to Moses, and the bush didn't get burned up. The bush was on fire. It was flaming, and he was giving the word to the prophet. But the bush never got burned up. That's the same way with you. We're burning bushes. God's inside of us. He's going to get that fiery word through to us. He's going to change us as we submit to him. But he loves us, and we love him, and we're coming into a great day. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that we have together. And Father, we thank you for your marvelous grace. You said that it's by grace that you're saved, through faith, which is a gift of God. Father, it's the faith that was the gift. It wasn't necessarily the salvation. You were saved by grace through faith, which is the gift of God. The faith is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We can't boast that we walked down an aisle, made a commitment in front of 300 people. That's okay. That's important. But that isn't what got you saved. He said, my grace saved you through faith. That was the gift I imparted to you, was the ability to operate in the faith of the Son of God. And that's what's coming forth in this hour too today. There's coming forth an abundance of God's faith. We're going to learn the difference between man's faith or our faith and his faith. Because there's only one faith. And it's not the faith of man. Paul said, I operate in the faith of the Son of God. And he knew that that faith would grow through his obedience. Because the increase of his government, there is no end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out your grace upon this fellowship. And God, I know you know respecter of persons, and our prayer, Lord, is that you'll pour out your grace upon all the brothers and sisters all throughout the world, Father, and provide their needs and just bless them, Father. And Father, start having us tear down the signs on our building, please. There is no such thing as wings. There is no such thing as the First Assembly of God. There is no such thing as the First Baptist of Westchester. Oh God, to see the day when we take all the signs down and we can walk into any building and fellowship in Christ instead of fellowshipping in doctrine. Oh my God. Are we standing in the revelation of the Son of God? Or are we standing in doctrines? Doctrines have so splintered your body. Religion has so splintered your body, even to the point where we have to put a sign up to let the people know we're more special than the guy down the street. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.